Well, I want you to pray with me as we prepare our hearts for the Word of the Lord. You know, I say that every Sunday, and I want you to understand, you know, tradition and just doing things out of habit and a pattern are not spiritual. But the reason we do that every Sunday is because it's so critical, the attitude and the condition of our heart when we hear the Word. Now that's for all of us. And also we pray for me, because I know how weak this vessel is and how I need the Lord's help. I invite you, pray with me as we prepare our hearts for the Word. Father, I thank you for your Word. It is precious to us. It is spirit and life to us. I pray, Father, that today that you would speak into each and every heart. And Lord, that we truly would have open hearts to receive from your Word. I pray, Lord, that not one seed of the Word be wasted today, but every bit of it, Lord, will be received and embraced and bring forth fruit in our lives. And Father, I ask for your help. Lord, I pray that people will not just hear me, but they'll hear the Holy Spirit speak into their heart today, that they be forever changed. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we are wrapping up, Lord willing, a series today on healthy heart, healthy life. Today's message is titled, The Noble and Good Heart. Jesus said, Matthew 15 and 19, out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. Where's all that junk come from? It comes out of the heart. You know, we're living in a time right now where people like to say things like, oh, well, the Lord knows my heart. And usually when they're saying that, it's in the context of the fact that they did something that wasn't right. They did something that maybe in one way they meant well, or maybe they thought the ends justified the means, but they know they didn't really do right, and so the Lord knows my heart. And nobody likes to think of themselves as being hard-hearted, stubborn-hearted. Nobody likes to think of themselves as being that one with a shallow heart. Now, we live in a time when everybody likes to think of themselves as having a good heart. But Jesus said all of that negative stuff comes out of the heart. That's where it comes from. In fact, on the Sermon on the Mount, all through that sermon, he makes the point over and over and over again, it's not enough to just deal with the outside. We have to deal with the heart. The heart has to be changed. He says in Luke 6:45, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. The evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. Out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. See, the fruit of your life is determined by the condition of your heart. It's determined by what's been stored up in your heart. You make your heart good, you make your life good. Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. You got to watch over your heart, because out of your heart come the issues of life. All of your life is going to flow out of what's in your heart. So you got to get your heart right, and you got to keep it right. Our hearts determine whether or not God's Word works in our lives. Now, God's Word works. It accomplishes what He sends it to do. It is alive and powerful. There's nothing wrong with the seed. But what determines whether or not it works in us is the condition of our heart. Our hearts determine whether or not we do the will of God in our life. Our hearts determine whether or not our lives are fruitful and productive or just wasted. All of that comes out of the heart. Luke chapter 8, Jesus tells us about four types of hearts. We're going to go there again. We're going to read more this time, all right? Luke chapter 8, beginning with verse 4. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path and it was trampled on. And the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. Now the last 3 weeks, we've skipped over this next part. But today we're going to look at it closely because there's a real key to the message here today on having a good and noble heart. You know, sometimes preachers skip over things because they don't know what it means. Well, that's okay. It's better to skip over it if you don't know what it means than to pretend like you do. Sometimes they skip over it because they know what it means, but they don't like what it means. And sometimes they skip over it because it's just not time to deal with that. But I really believe today's the day that we need to deal with this next few verses here. He says, when he said this, he called out. Now, Jesus is telling a parable, but then the scripture makes a point of saying, when he said this, he called out. So I don't know if he just raised his voice or how the emphasis was different, but the scripture makes it an emphasis here that he called out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. He's talking about a certain type of ear, ears to hear. I know some of us, we're thinking, ears to hear, well, what else do you have ears for? Just to look at me, ears to hear. But he's talking about people that really hear, people that really listen, people that are really receiving. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. His disciples asked him what the parable meant, and he said, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand. And we hear that where Jesus is saying, hey, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom is for you, but for them, they're not going to hear the explanation. It's hearing, yet they don't really hear. Seeing, they don't really perceive. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear. And then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it. But they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. With nothing else, after these 4 weeks, you're going to know this parable, right? That's a good thing. I'm telling you, too much of the time, we sort of kind of know the Word of God. What we need is to really know it, to get it down in our heart where we don't forget it, but it brings forth fruit in our life. But Jesus tells us there is a good and noble heart, noble and good heart. And you know, just think about that. Who has a noble and good heart? Well, the Bible tells us, Jesus describes for us the noble and good heart. It hears. It really hears, truly hears, and it retains, and it perseveres in the Word of God until it brings forth a harvest. See, if we have a noble and good heart, then our lives are going to bear fruit. The fruit of a changed life. The fruit of a life that's really living for God, serving God. The fruit of being blessed and seeing the promises of God fulfilled in your life. The fruit of seeing many, many other lives touched and changed and blessed through you. That's what the Word of God will produce in your life, that other people are blessed. See, it produces a crop. Everything produces after its own kind. That's what the Bible says. So the seed of the Word of God in you, it's going to produce 100-fold of blessing other people. It's going to work in and through your life to bless other people if we have a noble and good heart. But first, he describes the noble and good heart as one that hears the Word. Now, all of them hear the Word. All four types of soil or hearts in the parable received the seed. They heard, at least, they heard the word. But we have to truly hear. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. Are you really hearing? Are you really listening? Some people don't hear too well. I'm talking about spiritually. Now, there was an older couple that was traveling from Memphis to Little Rock, and the wife was not known for being very pleasant, and she was hard of hearing. And the man got pulled over, and the officer was asking the man if he knew how fast he was going. And the wife says, "What'd he say? What'd he say?" And the man said really loud where she could hear. He said, "He asked me if I knew I was speeding." And then the officer said, "Well, you're not from around here, are you? I see you're not from here." And he says, "No, I'm from Memphis." The wife said, "What did you say? What did you say?" "I told him we're from Memphis." And then the officer said, "You know, the meanest woman I ever met in my life was from Memphis." And the wife said, "What did he say?" And the old man said, "He thinks that he knows you." That's really bad. But you see, if we are hard of hearing spiritually, it keeps us from receiving truth that will set us free. It keeps us from receiving truth that can help us to live in victory, to see God's will and His blessings in our lives. We got to have a sensitive hearing ear to the Word of the Lord to receive what He's saying. Ears to hear. It means that we truly hear. And His disciples ask Him about the parable, and He says, "Listen, the secrets are for you guys, but for them, though seeing, they may not see. Though hearing, they may not understand." And that, you know, to the carnal mind, that sounds unfair. Just at first glance, maybe we think that God is somehow being unfair and playing favorites there. Listen, you need to approach every scripture this way. God is always fair. He's beyond fair. He's merciful. All of His ways are perfect. We should never, ever question His character. If we got a problem, it's because we don't understand yet. Now, what Jesus was saying, in fact, it goes a little further. There's more of what He said is given to us in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew 13 and 13. He goes on and it says, "In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will ever be hearing but not understanding. You will ever be seeing but not perceiving. For this people's heart has become callous, and they hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear." See, they don't hear because their hearts are calloused. They don't want to hear. They don't want to see the truth. And so their hearts, because of their hearts being calloused, they refuse to see the truth. Listen, when God shows you truth, when He speaks to you through His Word, if you receive it, He's going to give you more. But if He's speaking to you, if He's revealing truth, and you reject it, if our hearts are in such a place where we don't want to hear and we refuse to receive, then He's not going to reveal more truth to you until you accept what He's already shown you. Jesus didn't explain the parable to those with a hard heart. He explained it to those that were willing to hear, those that were open and receptive. He explained it to them. Let me tell you something. God wants everybody to receive. It's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's what the Bible says. He wants everybody to receive. But He knows who has a callous and hard heart and who has rejected truth. We're going to get it. That's all right. I know some of you, the wheels are turning. Listen to what He goes on to say in Luke chapter 8. Go back to the parable. We're going to continue on reading after the parable, after he explains the parable, here's the very next thing that he says in Luke 8, verse 16. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar or puts it under a bed. Now, there's another passage where it says, you're the light of the world, and this sounds a little bit similar to that, but that's not what he's talking about. You need to shine for Jesus. You're the light of the world. But that's not what he's talking about here. He says, instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be made known or brought out into the open. Now, he's talking about the truth. He's talking about the seed of the Word of God. It's out there. It's being broadcast for everybody that wants to hear it. Everybody that's willing to listen to it. Listen to verse 18. Listen closely. Listen carefully. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Have you ever thought about how you listen? Come on, some of you guys have thought about it a little bit when your wife was getting after you for not listening. Every parent that has little kids has had those times where somebody's tugging on your coat or your shirt or your dress trying to get your attention because they've been babbling all the time, but now they really want you to listen. But have you ever really considered carefully how you listen to the Word of God? I think too often in America today we excuse ourselves and say, oh, well, I'm a visual learner. Oh, well, I just need to have a little humor. Listen, I've heard a lot of boring preachers. It's tough. But I want to tell you this morning, we need to be careful, consider carefully how we listen to the Word of God. And not just when it's preached, but when we read it. However we're receiving. And when the Lord speaks to us, we need to be careful that we are truly listening. Consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken from him. And there is that principle of how God deals with us with truth. You see, if you receive the truth, whoever has, and again, see, some people read that and they think, well, that's not fair. Listen, if you have received truth, you accept the truth that God reveals to you, then He'll reveal more to you. Whoever has is going to be given more. But if you reject the truth, then even what you think you have is going to be taken away from you. That's what the Scripture says. And I'll tell you, church, we need to get a hold of that because there are a lot of people in the body of Christ today that are walking around blindly, deafly, not listening, not perceiving, not understanding. We need to get a hold of the Word of God and truly listen to it, truly take it to heart. Too much of this where, you know, we treat our loved ones that way sometimes where we act like we're listening, but we're not. One guy says, my wife talks to herself a lot. Another guy said, yeah, my wife does too, but she thinks she's talking to me. Well, maybe you get that. I don't know. But some people come to church and they hear a message and it goes in one ear and right out the other and they think no big deal. But what if that word would have changed your life? What if there was something there that God intended to speak into your heart and life that would set you on a course to blessing? What if there was something there that you were going to need that week to minister to somebody else and you missed it because you weren't even listening? You know, we hear with the physical ear a lot of the time, and yet with the ears of our heart, with our understanding, we don't hear. They say President Roosevelt one day had gotten so bored with all of his receptions and meetings at the White House and all of the formalities of how they greet one another and all that, that he decided to play a little game. And as he shook each diplomat's hand that day, instead of the usual niceties, he said, I murdered my grandmother this morning. And as he said that to each one that passed by and shook his hand, they would all just smile and say, "Oh, you're doing a great job. You're doing a great job." And finally, one foreign diplomat, he said, "I murdered my grandmother this morning." And he said, "I'm sure she had it coming, sir." I don't know if the story's true or not. But you know what? I've seen things like that actually happen. When I worked at a grocery store as a young man and was sacking groceries, there was a cashier. He was a little bit older than me and not a very godly young man. And instead of telling the customers thank you as they were leaving and, you know, come back, he would actually say something. I can't even tell you what it was. It was profanity. And they never even noticed. You know, people just, you know, they hear with the ear, but a lot of times it doesn't even register in the heart and mind. And the bad thing is when it's God's Word, we can't afford for that to happen. We've got to get that Word down inside of us. It's life-changing. There's power in it. But if we're not getting it, if you just don't get it, then it has no power. It's not working in you. Now, we've got to listen. Jesus said, and here's a word from Jesus for every Christian, consider carefully how you listen. So we're going to do that right now. Have you ever considered how you listen? How do you listen? See, some people listen like this. Now, preachers love this. Now, everybody that has their arms folded, unfold them real quick, all right? No, that's not the point. I'm talking about the attitude of the heart. But they listen with a judgmental, critical spirit, fault-finding, looking for a fault so that they can excuse themselves from everything else that you say. And if you're looking for a fault, you don't have to look very far. You're going to find one real quick. But here's the point. They're not receptive to the Word of God because they have a judgmental, critical, pharisaical spirit. And they're resistant to the truth. Other people, they have a skeptical, cynical, unbelieving attitude. That's the kind of listener they are. You can't convince me. And you know what? That's right. You can't convince them. You will never convince them by arguments. It's not just a mental thing. It's a spiritual thing. And if their heart is unbelieving, you're not going to change it just by worldly arguments. I'm telling you, they're going to have to come to a place of repentance where they are willing to allow God to change their heart. You got to consider carefully how you listen. See, we talked about the hard heart that's not really receptive to the Word of God. They're hardened through sin, through unbelief, or sometimes through hurts, disappointments in life. But however their heart got hard, it takes the work of the Holy Spirit to soften it again. And that person has to have a desire for their heart to be softened again. They have to pray that prayer like David did and say, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." You can't do it by arguments. The second type of heart we talked about was the shallow heart. No real commitment or devotion. They don't have any roots. And so even though they receive the Word, they hear it and they receive it joyfully, yet it doesn't last because when trouble comes, they give up. One person put it this way, "Christianity is a demanding and serious religion. When it is delivered as easy and amusing, it is another kind of religion altogether." You know, I don't exactly agree with all the terminology, but I agree with the point. In America today, way too much of the time, it's kind of painted, the picture's painted like this. Well, you know, hey, just come to our church. It's all fun and games. We got the best show in town. Listen, it's not about that. It's about giving your life to Jesus Christ. It's about Him who said, "If any man wants to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." It's about an all-out commitment. It's about being able to say, "I give my life for the one that gave his life for me." And until we have that kind of commitment, until we have roots that go all the way to the bottom of our heart, then it's never going to hold. We're going to be one of those that hears and gets all excited, but then flakes out when it gets tough. They believe at first, but it's not long until they just move on to something else. The third type of heart we talked about was the mixed heart. They hear the word, but there's so many other seeds, so many other voices that had gotten down into their heart as well, that the seed of the word is mixed, Jesus said, with the worries of this life, the love of riches, deceitfulness of riches, and the pleasures of this life. And it's choked out by all those other things. And I want to tell you, sometimes people that are allowing the pleasures of this life to consume them, their attitude when it comes to listening to the Word of God turns into this. Whatever. They're apathetic. Their heart has been so bombarded with 1,000 voices, they hear the Word of the Lord and it's like, so? I mean, come on, we're entertained by all kinds of media, all kinds of video, movies, TV, internet. We got audio all day long, iPod stuck in our ears 24/7. How are we ever going to hear the voice of God? Most of us, God would have to shout in our ears to get our attention. Sure, it's quiet in here, and I'm preaching better than y'all are responding. I'm telling you. Oh me, oh my, come on, say amen, because you know somebody else needs it, right? No, we need to be receiving ourselves right now. But the truth is a lot of people don't hear the what the Word is saying or what the Spirit is saying because their life is so filled with so many other voices and it's choking out the seed of the Word of God in their own life. James 4:4, here's one of those verses you never hear preached. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. He's not talking about that we're supposed to be mean to people. No, we're to be a friend of sinners just like Jesus was. We need to love people and reach out to people. He's talking about the things of this world, the world system, that we can't love this world. We're not a friend of this world. No, he says if you do that, then you're an enemy of God. It's hatred towards God. 1 John 2:15, he says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Church, we've been called to be a separate people. We've been called to love God with all of our heart, not just part of it. And we need to settle this once and for all, that our heart belongs to God. We need to refuse to allow our hearts to be crowded with so many other things that it chokes the seed of the Word of God in our life. See, if we're wrapped up with this world, I tell you, we're not going to bear fruit in our life. Jesus, in His prayer for us in John 17, as He's praying, He says, we're in this world. He says, but we are not of the world. And then He prays this to the Father. He says, sanctify them with Thy truth. Thy Word is truth. See, how can we live in an immoral world and live a pure life? It's by the Word of the Lord. The Bible says, Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. There's the cure. It's that we get enough of God's Word, enough of the seed of the Word of God down in our heart, and less of the world. Listen, you need to be concerned about your world-to-word portion. You know, there's a lot of people, they get in a little bit of the Word, but they get a whole lot of the world all week. And then we wonder why we have such a hard time living for God. It's choking out the seed of the Word in your life. You see, every young person that's been to youth camp, you know what I'm talking about, because when you go to youth camp, you get all fired up for God. It's not just because they have great services. That's just part of the picture. Part of it is because you're away from the TV and the internet and all that other stuff that is filling your heart and mind all week. But mom and dad, the rest of it, that's true for all of us as well. Sometimes we need to pull away from all that other junk just so we can hear the Word and really receive what God has for us. Really listen. You got to truly listen. Acts 17:11 says, the Bereans were of more noble character. We're talking about a noble and good heart, right? They were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness. Amen. We should do that. But then listen to this. And examine the Scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. You know, most people are too nonchalant to go home and do that. You need to examine the Scriptures. Most people, they've already decided, if the Word is being preached, they've already decided what they're going to receive and what they're not based on their preconceived notions and ideas and what they've already thought and believed in the past. And so when the Word's preached, they say, well, I believe that, don't believe that. Doesn't matter if it's true or not. They have already decided, well, I believe that, but I don't believe that. I challenge you to do like the Bereans did. Go home and search the Scriptures. Don't ask brother so-and-so. Don't go look in some book. Search the Scriptures. That's where you find the truth. I tell you, what we need is the Word. So many people today, they just kind of have that nonchalant attitude like, yeah, it's just somebody, preacher talking, I hope he's funny today. No, it's the Word of God. And whether it's being preached or we're reading it in our devotional time, oh, we need to realize this is God's Word to me and listen as though God were speaking to us. Matthew 17, it tells us about Jesus' transfiguration. He goes up on the mount and Moses and Elijah meet him there. It is this awesome experience that's taking place, and Peter is just blown away. And of course, Peter is just like his typical personality. I mean, he's all excited. He runs up and he says, Lord, this is good. Let me build a tabernacle for you and for Moses and Elijah. And while he's still talking, God interrupts him. Now, if you talk so much that God has to interrupt you, you need to be quiet. Listen, most of us talk too much and don't listen near enough. But there's a cloud that comes, and out of the cloud comes this voice, and he says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. That's what he said. Listen to him. Who's he saying that to? Peter? Some of us need to hear it this morning. Listen to Jesus. We need to hear. We need to really listen to him and what he says. What he says in his word and what he speaks to our heart. I tell you, Jesus said that his sheep know his voice. And we, as his sheep, need to know his voice. We need to be listening for his voice. But a lot of the time we are too busy. That voice is being crowded out by too many other voices. We think that we're so important and we've got so much going on that we don't have time to listen. I want to tell you something. This is the way it is always supposed to have been that we hear his voice. In the garden, Adam and Eve heard his voice. Now, you know, we might look at that and we think, oh, well, that was an audible voice. God was speaking to them in an audible voice. It doesn't say that. They heard his voice. And that's the way it is always supposed to be. I don't believe that God has become mute. He's not up in heaven with a vow of silence. He still speaks. He still speaks through his word and by his spirit. He still speaks, but do we listen? Some of us are so important, we don't have time to listen for a voice. Luke chapter 10, and the story of Mary and Martha asking Jesus to their house for dinner, and Martha is running around like crazy trying to get everything ready, and she's taking care of all the responsibilities. Man, she's got stuff to do. She's busy. She's busy for the Lord. Amen? Well, we can jump on that bandwagon. Man, she's working for God, doing something for God, but she missed what was the most important thing. Mary sat at his feet and heard his word. In fact, the NIV puts it this way. Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. And I want to challenge you today, all your busyness and all your responsibilities and all your pleasure and leisure time, Are you listening? Are you listening? Are you just running around like the rest of the world, like a chicken with his head cut off? Come on! Stressed out, worried about everything, running themselves ragged until they end up having to take pills to try to smooth it, you know, smooth things out so they can just make it through another day. Worries of this life choking out the seed of the Word of God. I'm telling you, that's not what God wants for us. We need to get to a place where we can listen for His voice. You think you're so busy and got so much going on. If you listen for His voice, He can impress on your heart what you need. You can get things done faster, better. Jesus was never in a hurry. He was always on time. He got everything done that He was supposed to do. And you know what He said? He said, I do what the Father tells me. See, He heard the Father's voice. And if we would just learn to listen more, I'll tell you, it's amazing what you can get done when you get the right idea. Where are you going to get it? You need to be listening. We need to be listening, open and receptive to the Word of God. He's still speaking. He said, you got to hear. Next, He said, the noble and good heart, they retain the Word. Now, whenever you talk about retaining, I think of a retaining wall. And I remember back when I was a kid, my grandparents had a house that backed their backyard backed up to a creek. And when that creek would flood, it would wash away a little bit more of their backyard. And so my grandfather built a retaining wall back there to keep his yard from washing away, to hold in what backyard he had. We need to retain the Word of God. It doesn't matter how much of the Word you hear, how much of it you get. If you don't hold on to it, it's not going to bring forth fruit in your life. In the New American Standard Version, it says, instead of retain, it says, hold it fast. You hold on to it like it's your life. It might be. You hold on to it like it's money, like it's gold. Listen, the Bible declares to us that it's more valuable than gold. If you're losing the Word of God, if you're allowing it to just be washed away by the busyness of life, let me tell you, you're losing more than your backyard. You see, God can give you a word that will bless your family and protect your family, help your family. But if you don't retain it, it's not going to bring forth fruit in your life. He can give you a word that will bring healing and maintain healing in your life. But if you don't hold on to it, He said, hold it fast. You got to retain it. I tell you, I've seen my wife living that out. She believed God for her healing. She put her faith and trust in what He said, that He heals all my diseases. But you know what else? You got to maintain it. You got to keep believing it. You can't let go of the Word. And how often it is in the body of Christ that we hear something and we say, oh, that's good. But 6 months later, there's no change in our life. We're right back where we were because we didn't retain it. No, if you have a noble and good heart, you retain. You got to make it a point that when you get something from God, whether it's through a message that was preached or through a scripture that you read, when you get something from God, you say, I'm never letting go of it. I'm going to hold fast to it. Nothing's going to pull that out of my hand. I'm not going to let the enemy deceive me. I'm not going to let the busyness of life wash it away. I'm going to hang on to it. Hold it fast. Don't be a forgetful hearer. There's another kind of hearer. They forget. James 1, 22 through 25 says, don't merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says. Anyone who listens to the Word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law of liberty that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he'll be blessed in what he does. And the last thing that Jesus said was that the noble and good heart produces a crop by persevering. You see, it's not enough to just, for a little while, obey. For a little while, go along with the Word. No, you got to persevere. You got to keep on. You got to continue in His Word. You got to be faithful. that no matter how it looks, no matter what problems arise, that you're going to persevere. You're going to keep pressing on. There's always going to be opportunities to give up. But I want to tell you, in this life, what you can be sure of is God and His Word. And you need to stand on what you're sure of. If God said it, then it doesn't matter what else happens in life and what else comes your way or what things look like. You need to keep persevering and enduring because there's a harvest that's coming. The Bible says we will reap if we faint not, if we don't give up. So I challenge you today to persevere and not give up. Now, if you have your Bible, I want you to turn to this, Psalms 19, verse 7 through 11. Psalms 19 is one of my favorite passages of the Bible, but we're going to read just 7 through 11 and listen to all that it says about the Word of the Lord. It says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned, and in keeping them is great reward." It's when we persevere and we do the Word of God. James 1:25 says that when you do it and you keep doing it, this man will be blessed in whatever he does. You see, it's as we persevere and we live by the Word of God and don't let go of it, we see it brought to fruition in our life. We see it produce the results that it's supposed to in our life. I want to summarize this one last time. Number one, you got to be receptive to the Word of God. You can't be like the beaten path. You got to be open and receptive to the Word. Number two, you got to put down deep roots. You can't be shallow soil. You got to have a deep commitment. If your commitment is not total and complete, then it doesn't matter what you hear and what you're taught. It's not going to hold because there's going to come a time of testing and you'll fall away. That's what Jesus said. Number three, you got to get the weeds out. It doesn't matter how much of the Word of God you get. If you're saturating your life with the junk of this world, the worries, the love of money, deceitfulness of riches, and the pleasures of this life, it will choke out the seed of the Word of God in your life and it will never mature. No, we have to hear it, we have to retain it, and we got to persevere, and we see a harvest 100-fold. When we do that, we experience life to the full. We experience all that He has for us. We see His Word, the blessings, the promises. We see the power in our lives as we persevere and continue on in the Word. I want you to stand with me, and as we pray, I want our prayer partners to come. Leslie, you come. Father, I thank You for the Word of the Lord to us today. Lord, I believe that You're giving us ears to hear. That's my prayer this morning, Father, is that each and every one of us would have an open ear to truly listen to Your voice. And Father, that in so doing, we will become those with a noble and good heart. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Lord, may it be said about us that we have a noble and good heart. Let us hear Your voice. Let us hear Your Word. And always, always respond to it. Always be a doer of Your Word. Father, I just pray this morning that there are areas of our heart that need to be dealt with, that the Holy Spirit would show us. I ask You, Lord, for Your mercy. Lord, where we've been calloused, where we've been hard-hearted, where we've been resistant, stubborn, I ask You to change us, Lord. Change our stubbornness into perseverance to do Your will, to do Your Word. But Father, remove from us that old stubborn heart that will be open and receptive. Father, help us to see where things are choking out the word in us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.